is our message is found in verse number 7 in Galatians chapter 4 in verse number 7. It says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. That was our old condition, was slavery under the law, under the bondage of the law. That's when me and you were trying to be good enough for God in any way, shape, or form, that we try to be good enough for God, is we have failed and we're out of the way. But the Lord Jesus, by His precious blood, and the Father, by His grace and the power of the Spirit, He regenerates us. He makes us sons. And if a son, if that's what you are, that's what I am, then an heir, an inheritor of God through Christ Jesus. And so we have the inheritance. And I want you to know that we have this inheritance before me and you were born again. If you look at verse number 1 through 5. Before me and you were born again, I was already saved in the purpose of God. I was already saved by our Lord Jesus at Calvary, and I was already predestined, predetermined to be saved by God at a moment in time when He came unto us by the gospel. Salvation is a plan of God that He has prepared for people that He has chosen from the foundation of the world. Look at verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, just like a small boy here, he is the master of all, but he doesn't differ from a servant. If you look at a school child, that is the inheritor, the heir of a large kingdom. But he's under his childhood tutor. Is he can be beaten, he can be spanked, he can be disciplined, he is told what to do, he is bossed around because he is a child. Now you and I, before we came into the inheritance of God's grace, by faith and by regeneration, being born again, me and you were slaves, even though we were heirs. Is our inheritance, it was the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God, but I didn't know it as long as I was under the law, because I was cut off from God and in bondage. Amen. The man that is in bondage is the man or woman that is trying to earn favor with God. That's something we talked about on Sunday very strenuously, very vigorously. Is we can't earn favor. That law says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. And if you don't, what happens? Are you accepted or are you punished? Under the law, what happens if I fail even one time? I'm punished. I'm cursed. If a murderer, if he abused the body of his victim, that would not cover up his crime. And me and you trying to keep the law of God has never made us righteous. Verse number 2, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So even so, when we were children in bondage, that's before I knew the gospel, and were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's the rules that men and women come up with to be righteous with God. If my hair is covered, if I have long skirt, if I bow when I enter in the building, if I preach, if I pray, if I fast. These rules are in religion and outside. Is the Muslims have them? Is the traditionalists have them? Everybody is in bondage under the law, trying to be right with God. And it's slavery. It has no real joy. It has no real peace. It will never make a man righteous. It's not good enough. If you or I are trying to stand in the sight of God at any moment by what is us being here, is it good enough? It's the others are home or at work or at play, but this group came. Is this good enough to make us righteous with God? Never. Not in 100 years. It must be perfect. If there's any sin in it, he rejects it. And I can't even think a perfect thought. There has not been a single moment that you or me has ever loved God with all our heart. There has never been a moment I've loved my neighbor as myself. I've tried. I'm growing. But if that is my righteousness, is that what makes me accepted? I'm a slave and I'm in bondage. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. That's what our Lord Jesus was. And he was born under the law. Christ, he was obedient, not only to the curse of the law at Calvary, but his whole life. From the womb unto the tomb, he obeyed God perfectly. And he did this, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that's me and you, that we might receive the adoption as sons. See, if this boy here, if he became an orphan and I adopted him into my family, it isn't because is I owe it to him. It isn't because he's mine by nature. It's a choice that I've made. And he didn't earn it. Well, he and you are brought into the family of God. Not as a natural born child. I'm an enemy of God by nature. That's why I must be born again. You hear it? And so he adopts us into his family and he accepts us through Jesus Christ. And because you were sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's when you heard the gospel. That's when you're born again. And so now, you and I are an heir of God, an inheritor of God, of all of the blessings of the gospel in the spiritual kingdom. And you open, please, to Ephesians 1. This is my first point. The inheritance. Me and you that believe the gospel are an inheritor of God. Now, it isn't a kingdom of this world. It's not money. It's not the talent to be a rock star or a millionaire. There are some Christian millionaires, but the majority of millionaires in this world are not believers, and the majority of Christians are poor. If the inheritance was money, then God failed. Because I'm going to get sick and die. So that's not the inheritance, is health. If you want health, you get a good doctor. And hope you have some good genes. And pray. And pray. But Ephesians in chapter 1, it does show us what is our inheritance. Verse number 3, he's only talking unto the saints. He's only talking unto the people that are heirs of God. He's only talking to the people that believe the gospel. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's where they are. It's because of him. Just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what me and you are now. Not only chosen, but holy and blameless, because he's put in us a new nature. The spirit of his son is in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's a new nature. It's a new spirit. I've been born again. I'm holy and blameless. In love, verse number 5, having predestined us to the adoption of sons. I'm not a son by nature, but I'm a son now through Christ Jesus, being actually born again. It is by Jesus Christ unto himself. It's not because of what I did. It's in Christ. The inheritance is in Christ. Each and everything that me and you have is because of our relationship with Christ. As soon as I have Christ, is I have the whole inheritance. As you remember from Sunday, you are all one, and you're all sons by faith in Christ. All of us are equal in the sight of God in Christ, because Christ is our acceptance. Christ is the reason I have the inheritance and all of it. Every believer is blessed with all spiritual blessings. Every one of them, as soon as he trusts in Christ Jesus. It's not that he earned part and then I earned part. That's not the gospel. That's a false gospel. He earned it all. And by possessing Christ by faith, I have it all. And you have it all. That's the inheritance. If your father left you money and he's rich, you have the money he left you. Is you have it all. That's what Jesus did with his blood. He left us all of it. He paid. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made us acceptable in the sight of God by faith in him, because of his work at the cross. These are the scriptures. You see, our religion isn't our tradition. It isn't as to what he and you think. All of us are wrong by nature. That's why we must be born again. And our religion, it deceives us. It's self-righteous pride. It's in our nature. It's in our blood. But the gospel that's in the text says, stop all that. Because you're not impressing God. You can't even impress me. How will you impress God? It's impossible. But in Christ and through Christ, you can have it all. Which one as to would you choose? Are you going to earn it and end up with nothing but hell? Or are you going to receive it by grace and have it all right now? And then you grow in wisdom, and you grow in grace, and you grow in knowledge, and your inheritance, it becomes even bigger in your eyes, but it's been there the whole time. Even when I was in slavery, I was a son. He had predestined us unto the adoption of sons. So even when I was running around crooked and evil in this world, the Almighty God, He had His eye on me and you. And He said, this person at a particular time is going to come to faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to send my spirit into his heart, the spirit of my son, and he's going to cry out, Abba Father. He's going to be saved. That's predestination. Is your path is marked out by God, and it's a guarantee that you're going to be holy and adopted as a son. That's salvation by grace. And it's according unto the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what we're glorifying, is God's grace. It's not our work and activity. And you remember that I told you on Sunday that people want to earn, but God wants to be gracious. People want to be good enough, but God wants to help the sinner and get all glory unto himself. It's unto the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us. I didn't make myself. Highly favored, accepted in the beloved. As to when the angel came unto Mary and said, oh, you are highly favored. The angel of God, the messenger of the gospel, has come unto me and you and said, you're highly favored. Blessed. Behold, you've got God Almighty himself. You've got salvation. And you've got everlasting life. And he that believes has all those things because he gave it to Abraham by promise. What did Abraham do to get the blessing? Let's see, he was born. Is he lived in sin? Is he was an idolater in Syria? And then God came to him and blessed him. Is he made him a promise? Is he said, I blessed you. And in you shall all nations be blessed. In your seed, who is Christ? That's how he came unto me and you. He came and blessed you in the gospel. And it was while me and you were in our sin. It was while me and you were in our false religion. He blessed me. I was preaching a false gospel, and he came into the pulpit, in a man's mouth, he uttered out the gospel. I sat in my seat and he blessed me and he caused me to believe the promise that I'm blessed by God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. All because of Christ. Look what we have in our inheritance. And I would invite you to peruse, to be looking at this book of Ephesians. It outlines our inheritance quite well. In the book of Romans, it talks about our salvation quite well. The steps. In the book of Ephesians, it's our inheritance. In the book of Galatians, it's as how it's by grace, not by law, not by works. In Corinthians, it's a holy inheritance. Well, look at verse number 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? It's the forgiveness of sins. Is redemption, or all of our sins were laid upon Christ Jesus, if we've been predestined to obtain this gospel inheritance, he was punished
And God paid for all of our sins in the person of Christ. Even as the scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It was God that was in Christ. It was God that did the work of redemption. It was God that paid for our sins in the person of Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. If my sins have been paid for, can they send me to hell? No. Never. You can't strike the same sins twice. You can't punish the same people twice. If you can't pay the same penalty twice. That's why, if you want to skip ahead, please. Verse number 14 of Ephesians 1. It's in him, it's in Christ. And what we're talking about is the inheritance that we have free of charge by faith in Christ Jesus. It's in him, in Christ. You also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, after you heard the true gospel, not a lie. That lie kept you under bondage. That works religion. It just kept you under hypocrisy. It was nothing useful except to keep you from killing somebody or being killed and ending up in hell. And so you had these rules and these constraints of our religion that kept us from going out and doing the things that we would have been doing. I would have been dead, in jail, or rich if I had not been constrained by religion as a young man. I had the fear of God in the sense I had the fear of hell, but I didn't know who God is. I just knew a bunch of religious rules and things I was trying to do sincerely, and I was a preacher of lies. But when the time came that was appointed by the Father, you and I also trusted in the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, how God saved you, and in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This Holy Spirit was promised unto our Lord Jesus Christ because of his work upon the cross. That's the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7. I go unto the Father, and it is expedient for you, it is good for you that I go away unto the Father, because if I don't go, I won't send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to help you. And he resides in our heart, and he teaches us the gospel. The only person that can teach us the gospel is the Holy Spirit. He uses other men's mouths, like the jawbone of a donkey that was in the hand of Samson. But he does all the saving, all the slaying of the Philistines of sin. Who, verse number 14, this Holy Ghost is the guarantee, is the pledge. Now, it's in your translation. It could say earnest. It could say pledge. It could say guarantee. I like this word here, guarantee. It's the proof positive that God is going to bring us to heaven when we die. Can a believer, a true believer, lose his salvation? No way. How can you lose that which is written in this book? He chose us. He predestined us. He adopted us. He put away our sins. He redeemed us with his blood. He gave us the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. as a guarantee, I'm going to make paradise when I die, and he's going to cause me and keep me and you to be holy. And when we fall, he's going to pick us up. He's going to spank our backside. If you're without chastisement, then you're a bastard. You don't know God. It's all fake. But if you're a son whom the father loveth, he chasteneth. He scourges every son. He whips us that we partake of his holiness. I flee from sin because I have God as my father. I'm standing here because I have God as my father. I sent a message unto Sister Jamila, how God, as his title is, how I became a missionary. And it talked about how God found me, and he finds us, but me, in sin and degradation. And he pulls us out, and he washes us out, he cleans us up, and then he sends us into the ministry of the gospel with whatever gifts we have. And I was a saved person, and my life, it was cleaner than most people on earth, but to me it was vile and filthy in my own sight. And I was on the edge. Am I going to go to heaven, or am I going to pursue hell with all I've got? And he brought me back into the gospel ministry. As he washed my heart, he cleansed me. Because I have him as a father who chasteneth, who loves me. And he picked me out and he made me get the fear of the Lord that I will never go back there. Scared to death of ever going back into never again. That's what God does. But he saves his people and he keeps them. He keeps them coming unto Christ because their salvation, sir, is in Christ. It's based on Christ. It's not based on themselves. And once you have Christ, you have it all. And that's what we're doing as we're preaching this blessed gospel. And so we have everything. Is we have holiness. Is we have power over sin. We have the Holy Spirit. Is we have a new nature. There is holiness and righteousness on the inside of us now. The inheritance is large. It's large. Point number two. Are you using your inheritance? How do we use our inheritance? Well, with trials. Is I had two things that happened. Well, it was a few things this day. Is one, I have a friend that's in Joss, outside of Joss, is a believer of the gospel. I won't say his name. And he's a co-worker in the gospel. And so when we do medical missions, he comes and he helps with the preaching and with the teaching of the gospel. And his father was kidnapped last night. As they came, and this is strange with me, I'm from the West. As they came unto his house and beat down his door and kidnapped him, and they took him. And it hurts me very, very badly. But there are two things I know about this situation. And I tell him and others, as I let people know. One, it's for Timothy's good. He's an elect. He is a believer. And all things are working together for his good. The good, the bad, the evil, and the just is all working together for his good. If I had not been cast into slavery, my ancestors, I would never have learned the blessed gospel. West Africa had been conquered by Islam. If the British had not come here, you might be Muslims now. If the missionaries hadn't come, and when the majority of the early ones died. But even when they died, it compelled another person to come and to lay down their life. It's the first 100 died. Then the others came and they had an immunity and they endured. And all is the gospel spread. All things are working for his good. It's going to make him a preacher if he's been called. Here's another thing that we know. This event, as horrible as it is going to advance the kingdom of God. It's not going to stop gospel. It's going to be used by God to save his elect. It might make Timothy cry and then yearn with people. It might make him cry and to realize the preciousness of life. And this man's money,
because they kidnap people with money,
it may be all taken if he paid ransom. The inheritance he planned to leave his children, it may be wiped out, gone. But that may be the best thing for Timothy, because that money, it could have made him swerve. It could have made him to forsake his gospel, preaching with passion, with the easiness, and with the cares of life. And the man, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's for Timothy's good, and it's to spread the gospel. Somebody will hear the gospel. And then thirdly, is we pray, Lord God, be merciful.
If you open, please, into the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. There's an illustration here as to where the Apostle Paul is unable to heal somebody. And it starts in verse number 25 through verse number 27. It says, "Yet I considered it necessary," Philippians 2:25, "to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier." He's a good guy, isn't he? A holy man. He's got zeal. He is commended by Paul. If I could be anybody in Scripture, I want to be somebody like that. Have a commendation by Paul. But your messenger, your preacher, and the one who ministered to my need. Is he brought some food or some blankets, or he just sat there with Paul and shared the gospel? Verse 26, "Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick." And the Apostle Paul is not ashamed of it. He isn't hiding it. "Almost unto death." He couldn't heal this man. "But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also," Paul says, "lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." I can pray for Timothy's father, lest he have sorrow upon sorrow. I don't want to see believers hurting. Anybody hurting, really, but especially believers. But God might heal this man Epaphroditus, and he might not, but he did it. This man that's been kidnapped, he might make it out, he might not. Somebody said, "And the Lord will intervene." How do you know? You must
never say something about the Lord that's not true. If I say that you're going to be healed and you don't get healed, I lied against God. And I'm worthy of being stoned in the Old Testament scripture. That's not acceptable. I don't know what's going to happen under this man. But I do know that God is in charge. And He's good. And how do we know that He's good? How are me and you able to trust Him in any circumstance? He gave us the inheritance. He has given us everything. He has already shown us mercy. He has saved our soul from hell. He has bought us with the blood of Christ. Whatever He's doing is good. And whatever happens unto us, He loves us. And that's the reason it's happening. It's in His wisdom, it's in His power, but it's in His love. Every individual thing that happens, that disaster which you fear, if it happened, is because God loves you as much as it hurts. And that's how we use the inheritance to comfort ourselves. It's another thing happened. It's another friend that's in the UK. It's her father died. Her father died a couple of weeks ago. She had been praying for him for many years. He died unsaved. That's a horrible thing. That's a pain. Then when she went back to work, she was fired and she lost her job. Her department had closed down. As they said, that we tried to find you in this other place, but it just didn't work out. And so she lost her father and she lost her job, but she didn't lose her God. And her eyes, she says, are on His sovereignty. And then I tried to, is to add in not just His sovereignty, His power, that the Lord is in charge, but His love and His wisdom. He is using this trial, this emptying of ourselves, to give us more of Himself. That's the good it would do. And so we're able to control ourselves if we use our inheritance. Are you using yours? And to use it is to not go back to the law. Don't try to earn anything with God. If you sin, trust the precious blood of Jesus to bring you back into right relationship, right standing in your conscience, and to restore the power of the Spirit so you can live the Christian life. If you're trusting in your fasting, that's not praying. That's works. I fast trusting in the blood of Christ alone. If you're trusting in your church attendance, don't trust in being here. And the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God. Trust in that. That's even higher. That's a higher acceptance. Don't do anything to earn the favor of God. It's been earned already. So walk in this grace. By faith. And render unto God thanksgiving and praise and the honor that is due His name in love towards Christ. And if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. And if And you love him because he first loved you. The only thing that can make you love God is to look at how he loves you. It's the only way. It's the way he made it. So keep looking. Keep believing in hardships and trials. When you want something, every day have a mind of grace. Have a mind of grace. Here's is point number three. This inheritance that me and you have is worth preaching. This is what we preach. If you would turn back into Galatians 4. And you see what Paul is doing here. He's preaching grace unto a church that has turned out of the way. They have returned again to the weak and to the beggarly elements of trying to improve themselves to impress God. And that's bad. But if you look at verse number 13 through verse number 16. Here is some of the consequences of preaching grace. Is we have to preach grace. That's our ministry. And it's a message that is hated by this world. It's the religious world can't understand it. It's the carnal world can't appreciate it. But the religion of the gospel, when received by God the Holy Spirit's power, it makes converts. It makes true conversions. It makes people born again. But there are consequences for preaching it. In Galatians 4, verse number 13, Paul says, "Is you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first." The Apostle Paul didn't have an easy life. It's his body had been beaten up for preaching the gospel. Is he had scars, he had bruises. He had a physical infirmity. And he had a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan, to beat him down, all the trials, all the sufferings. Verse 14, "And my trial," it was hard on Paul, "which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, not at the beginning, but you received me," Paul says, "as a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus." What love they had for Paul in the beginning. But things change. Verse 15. "What then was the blessing which you enjoyed?" Is he saying, what happened to you? "For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore," verse 16, "become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" These very people, they were preaching God's grace with the Apostle Paul at the beginning of his ministry in Galatia. And the people were saying, "Wow, that's wonderful. We're saved by grace. All the work was done by God. I'm accepted in Christ Jesus. I am fully saved. I have the complete inheritance. And then their flesh picked up. Then the false teachers came in. And they're saying, but if you really want to be holy, if you really want to be righteous with God, you got to put away Christ just a little bit. He's good and all, but he's not everything. Trusting him is not everything. You've got to do some good works also yourself. You've got to earn it just a little bit. You've got to keep it going yourself. You've got to do something yourself. And that's why Paul rebuked Peter. He had turned away, he had swerved from the gospel into acceptance in what me and you do in something about ourselves. That I'm slightly more righteous than you because I'm a missionary. You're slightly more righteous because you came on time for church and he's a bit late. All of that is a lie. It's a joke. It's all bondage. We are all equally accepted because of Christ. We are perfectly accepted because of Christ. And because of Christ, God will work in us to live a holy life. If you want a holy life, is you go to God with Christ Jesus. And you say, because of the grace that's in the gospel, and because of the blood that you shed on Calvary's tree, give me the power to live a holy life by the Holy Spirit. And he'll do it. But the preaching of that gospel is going to be hated by men. I get hated all the time. And sometimes I get angry as I did on Sunday and I apologize. I should not preach like that. I should not get angry like that. But the reason I got angry, I took my eyes off Christ. And I thought, I had to do it myself. Now, there is a time to tell people to keep quiet and listen unto the gospel, but there's a way to do it. And when people are angry at you, I found that the best thing to do is keep preaching the gospel kindly and to keep preaching it very graciously, and sometimes God changes their heart and their attention. I'm not in the battle with you. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the inheritance. I'm preaching what saves. I'm preaching what I know is true. What I will die for. This is it. This is the only gospel. This is the only hope that men have. And God Almighty has brought it to you. Just a few little people gathered. I've come all the way from America to preach unto you the new knowledge of God's grace that's not new at all. It's old. It's in the Bible. It's what the text says. It's what it says. And that's what we preach, not our tradition. I was wrong too. But the gospel of the grace of God. And then we get to Christ, we trust him, and we have everything. And the hatred of man, you just have to deal with it. Just have to endure it. Because you can't keep quiet. And you can't tell them what they want to hear. You gotta tell them the gospel no matter what. And it will cause the people that hear to live a holy life that far exceeds all the Pharisees. Who lived a holier life? Is it Paul the apostle with his back that has been beaten, or the Pharisees? Who truly loved God? Who truly loved people? It was obvious. It was obvious. He gave his back unto the smiters, and he kept on preaching this gospel of God's grace. That's heroic, but that's what grace causes us to do, to give up our lives for the gospel, and to be the only church in the area, if we have to be, that's preaching the gospel of God's grace. That means that we are the only people important in this area unto God and His ministry. It means that it's us that He's using as the saviors of His community. He's using us to spread His gospel message and to make His name known. And so, we will go through anything because this makes our life to be worth living. I'm a savior with a small s. And every time I stand up to preach, the power of life and death is in my tongue. He that believes it, everlasting life. The person that hates it, everlasting death. Who's sufficient? But our sufficiency is of God. So in conclusion here, my question is this. Are you using your inheritance? Are you believing on Christ? Are you trusting in Christ Jesus for all of your hope and acceptance? For all of your righteousness with God? For power over sin, for a holy life, for peace that surpasses understanding, for the joy in peace that's of believing, for everything that's promised in the new covenant. Are you trusting Christ and living on your inheritance? If you are, you're happy on the inside. And that's where the kingdom of God is. It's not in material stuff. If it was, you'd miss out. Your opportunities are so small. You can't have it in this world. Most people can't. And if God takes this one or two and He makes them rich, how about everybody else? Are they not saved? Are they not Christians? Are they not trusting God? No. The problem is we think that the kingdom of this world is the kingdom of God, and if I have a Mercedes, I'm blessed. No, if I have God, I'm blessed. And all of you have everything that's in Christ. If you trust Christ right now, and the Lord